you make the sun to shine.
In cooperation with the United States government, the Owens, Illinois Glass Company, developers of Dura Glass Containers, present another program with Mrs. America's favorite radio visitor, Fletcher Wiley. No, that birthday tune wasn't celebrating Fletcher's birthday. He stopped counting his birthdays the year of the big win. Today is the 70th birthday of the Owens, Illinois Glass Company, who for the past 70 years have been furnishing the home front with the finest in glassware of all types, and who now are furnishing not only the home front, but our war front also with glass containers for drugs, serums, vitamins, beverages, and thousands of other items necessary to maintain the health and efficiency of our armed forces. Well, our musical lineup today includes, as usual, Wilbur Hatch and his orchestra, our tenor star Frank Parker, Diana Gale and Phil Hanna, and here is your home front reporter, Fletcher Wiley.
Remind me to hate you, Drake. And the best of the day to all of you. How do you like that crack about me stopped having birthdays the year of the big win? Wait till I brush my beard off the table here. I ran across an example the other day of practical patriotism, which more than a few communities might copy. Somebody'll get behind the ball. The town of Fairmont, Minnesota, lost one of its boys in action, Sergeant Bill Anderson. He used to clerk in a local store and was known to nearly everyone in the community and the county. The folks in Bill Anderson's hometown could have held a meeting, honor his memory with a lot of speeches telling about how Bill stood by his country, or they could have changed the star in the service flag which represented him to a gold one and run a eulogy to Bill in the local paper and let it go at that. But the Fairmont folks weren't satisfied just to talk or read about their hometown hero. They preferred to imitate his example and do something helpful toward getting this war won, even though it didn't call for the supreme sacrifice. There was a bumper crop of sweet corn to be gathered for processing in one of the local quick freezing plants, and there was a shortage of help. The call went out to honor Bill's memory in a mass gathering of every able-bodied person to go out and get that corn in and process it so that it could be used as food. 1,300 people volunteered to observe this Bill Anderson Day, and more than 50 of them were past 70 years of age. They got that crop in, put it through the processing plant in jig time, and saved the crop, which might have been half lost at least for lack of manpower. They paid tribute in a very practical manner to a fellow townsman, and they paid honor unwittingly to their town of Fairmont, and I think they set an example which many a community and many a village in this country could copy. There are a lot of jobs to be done in our war effort. No few of them could be done in memory of some boy who went out to do his part. And the telling of this method of honoring a war hero might do something to perpetuate his memory more than any speech or printed eulogy or memorial tablet. Let's hear some more practical patriotism in the Minnesota manner. And now let's hear a little music as Phil Hanna and Diana Gale sing Cuddle Up a Little Closer.
Cuddle up a little closer, lovey mine. Cuddle up and be my little clinging vine. Like to feel your cheeks so rosy.
Like to make you comfy, cozy.
Cause I love from head to toes thee, lovey mine. Mm-hmm. just a little closer, lovey mine. Cuddle up, and won't you be my little clinging boy? Like to feel your cheeks so rosy, like to make you comfy, cozy, cause I love from head to toe.
I'm muddled up.
Well then, cuddle up, lovey mine.
Get away from here, Drake. Please come over and tell me the minute and 25 seconds added to 19 minutes and 15 seconds makes 20 minutes and 30 seconds. I get even with you for that crack about my age. I'm going to send you back to kindergarten. Now, we'll talk a little bit about parents, okay? And I'm not going to tell them how to raise their kids either. Well, not exactly. Huh? Most parents constantly have in mind what their responsibilities are to their youngsters. Most of them do. Very definitely, they want to do everything they can for them. Sometimes they want to do too much. They're going to feed them and clothe them and shelter them and give them good habits and a better education than they had. Most of them want them to have the advantages that they didn't have. They safeguard their health and they foot all the bills for clothes and education. Generally speaking, trying to spoil them a little bit. They know all those rules. But there's another duty that parents owe to their children that they mostly don't pay any attention to. They owe a duty to themselves. The parents owe a duty to themselves as parents that is still a responsibility to the children. They are apt to get the idea that to ever think of themselves as wrong and selfish. If the children are all right, then everything's hotsy-totsy, never mind mother and dad. Well, children whose mothers and dads neglect themselves aren't all right. First place, it's a fine way of inculcating an innate selfishness in kids that are very quick to pick it up. You just get a youngster used to doing something and expecting something pretty quick to take it for granted, and you're a doormat all over the place. The fact that Paul wears his blue serge suit so you can shave in the seat of the pants with the shine that's on it, that's all right. He isn't supposed to wear anything else if you get in there pitching that way. And the idea of mother having a new dress or going out on a little hair for herself once in a while is unthinkable. And there are too many kids that are that way, and they're not such useful citizens either. Somebody drew up a list of objections to things parents didn't do. First, you have the obligation to keep your own health up. The kids are going to need you at your best, your physical best. You want to be a poised and stable person, not just this year, but next year and for a lot of years. If you overwork, scrubbing your fingers to the bone for them, you are by way of being slightly sappy. And they'll get sore. Somebody ought to tell you this because there are a lot of you that need it. You want to keep alive mentally, and that means you've got to get out of that washtub dishwater routine once in a while. If you're going to degenerate into a chore girl around the place, if it's the children that you're thinking of, they'll be prouder and happier to have an alert, interested, young-minded mother than they will just a slavey. If you're going to be narrow-minded and sink yourself in housework entirely, if you're just a pair of hands and feet to serve the family, you're not doing the best job that you can for yourself or the kid. You need a little variety and a little change and a little outside interest, too. Somebody said that many a tombstone, if it were properly engraved, would have on it, "Sacred to the memory of mother, she died of monotony." And a lot of you know that that's no kidding either. Well, part of that's your own fault. You can take a certain amount of that sort of guff, and then you should rise up in your wrath and do something about it. The most interesting parents that I know are the ones that can do a pretty good job of keeping up with the kids. You've got to keep a budget balanced between expenditure for yourself and expenditure for the children. How long has it been since you hauled off and bought something for you? Or made them give up a little bit? They don't have to have everything and you get nothing. That's not smart for any of the parties concerned. Another thing that I think is a terrific mistake is where parents have a division of opinion between themselves in front of the kids. You disagree before children. Kids are pulled two ways. They have affection and respect for both of you, and they don't know which one of you is right. But they're pretty apt to lose respect for or take advantage of one of the two disagreeing parties. If the kids are around, put up a solid front. You want to heartily disagree, why don't do it in front of them. This business of either member of the family low-rating the other one in the presence of third parties, even the little pitchers with the big ears, and they're liable to believe you. And you say things when you're sore that you don't mean yourself, you know. Somebody says something gets your goat, you think of the nastiest thing you can say, whether it's the truth or not, doesn't have any bearing on it. You can make a mountain out of a molehill, but quick when you're a little red around the wattles. And it's a pretty good idea to do that privately. Send them up for a couple of ice cream cones and have at it and get it over by the time they get back. Some parents lose entirely touch with their children because of their failure to achieve any form of halfway smart tolerance. Some people, it never occurs to some people that they themselves should associate with varied types of people. After all, if you stick just with your clique, just your family, just your thinking group, you get a little hidebound. You know, when you get out in the world, as kids do when they go to school, they associate with all types of people. Creeds, colors, nationalities, religions, races. Well, if they only favor or know anything about one group, they're going to be a little bit narrow. You get a little ingrown. We have a tendency to kind of circumscribe our association with other people anyway, and it's a pretty good thing to get away from. The really broad person has a little touch of everything in it. Not just all virtue. I really think that a little wee touch of harmless vice is a pretty good thing to know about anyway. Just a wee pinch of it, you know? I'm very fond of quoting Bobby Burns, who I think hit the nail right on the head when he said, "The rigid righteous is a fool and the rigid wise an idiot." And wee Bobby had something there. So keep your sense of humor also. You need a little rest and relaxation. This is vacation time. Did it ever occur to you it'd be a good idea to take a vacation once in a while away from the family? Most women can't even conceive of going off and leaving the family. Well, the family would enjoy it, and it's a cinch you would if you'd try it. And don't worry about it. The dishes pile up in the sink, and they sweep everything under the bed, and so worry about that when you get home. But get away from them. Get a little change for yourself. It'd be marvelous. Well, maybe you can do that now. Go and visit your Aunt Emma, or get out from under that gun. It's a good thing once in a while. And you'll come back with a changed viewpoint and a freshened one. And they'll be nearer and dearer to you. And they'll be glad to see you get back, too, particularly if they have to do their own cooking. They get very well fed up on it. You get a shock when you open the icebox to see what they can do. But it would do you a lot of good. A parent has some rights. They should occasionally assert them. Stop being a doormat. That's easy to be and hard to get out from under. All right, that's so much for that. It's Frankie Parker, and he's going to sing Intermezzo.
Like a dream, you dream tonight, that fades from sight when darkness disappears. gonna be. Oh, my love, white stars above, in heaven's blue are softly gleaming. I dream of you, and I live in the glory of your love. When I see the shadows falling on a purple summer evening, then is when I hear you calling across the lonely hills. Oh, how well I still remember when another summer evening, one that started out in splendor, ended in the
critical problems in this country right today is farm labor. I know something about what I'm talking about, too, because I happen to do some farming. The fellow who's growing the stuff that you eat, by and large, needs more help. You can go to your United States Employment Office nearest to you if you're interested in a job on a farm and get one. Farm wages generally are the highest that I can ever recall them being. And that goes back, as Galen said, to the year of the big wind. And if you really want a healthful occupation with plenty of good, substantial food, and also want to know that you're making a definite contribution to the war effort, there's one kind of job you can take. And they can use almost all ages and types. Young boys and old men. Lots of women working on farms, and they're doing a splendid job. You know, the home front has no more important angle than the food front. The stuff has to be grown, and then it has to be processed and packed. And the need for help on farms and in canneries, food processing plants, is very acute. If you can do anything, get in touch with your United States Employment Office. Now, here's a little Tar Heel medley by Phil and Diana, and I think Frank's doing it too.
Caroline, a moonlight
place I long to be. Now I'm hoping tonight you'll go to the right window, scatter your light, say I'm all right, please do. Tell her that I'm blue and lonely. Dreamy Carolina moon.
Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the morning. Nothing could be sweeter than my sweetie when I meet her in the morning. Where the morning glory shine around the throne, whispering pretty stories, I long to hear once more. Strolling with my girlie where the dew is pearly early in the morning. Butterflies all flutter up and kiss these little buttercups at dawning. If I had Aladdin's lamp for only a day,
I'd make a wish, and here's what I'd say.
Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the morning.
Now I'm hoping tonight you'll go to the right window, scatter your light, say I'm all right, please do.
At this time, the Owens, Illinois Glass Company will present another program with Mrs. America's favorite radio visitor, Fletcher Wyman. If you thought when you laid off from your work job yesterday that because all you did was make those little rings, nobody'd miss you, you're wrong. They miss you plenty. Those gadgets you make may be just rings to you, but they're one of the key parts of the Garand rifle. There's no such thing as an unimportant job in a war plant. The little things you didn't do yesterday can start a chain of events in motion, events that can sink a ship or wipe out a company of soldiers. Now, the next time you're tempted to lay off, will you remember what our president said? Lost ground can be regained. Lost time, never. Galen Drake speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.